Hello and welcome to the Other Day Podcast. Every episode, I don't know how often I plan on posting, but I plan on just, you know, talking to you guys and, you know, telling you a little bit about what's on my mind and things that I'd like to share with you, some stories, some jokes, hopefully that you find funny. Probably about an hour long, maybe 45 minutes, depending on how saucy I'm feeling on the episode to episode basis. Before we dive into this, here is a word from our sponsor. All right, so how y'all doing? It's a great word right there, y'all. Just rolls right off the tongue. It's smooth like butter, not like margarine. Not that I can't believe it's not butter stuff, but actual butter, y'all. Combination of you and all. We don't have time anymore to be adding in that extra O and U. We could be spending that other time doing other stuff like tying your shoes or, you know, going for a walk. I don't know why, but I'm from Texas originally and I use y'all pretty regularly. When I came up here to Nebraska, I felt like I was getting made fun of for it. Every time I would say y'all, somebody has to comment, even in the middle of what I'm saying, say, y'all. It's like, yeah, I say y'all. What's the big deal? Why is my vernacular something to be made fun of? Vernacular is a funny thing here. I mean, even in the United States where, like, you'd think that everybody speaks the same. I mean, everybody does speak the same language for the most part. But it's used so differently. Like, I refer to soda as soda, because that's the actual name for it. Don't at me. If you want to tweet at me, tweet at the podcast, you can. I'll give you guys that information later on. But it's soda. Up here in Nebraska, most people call it pop, which makes absolutely no sense. But I understand when they say pop, I'm like, oh, they're talking about soda. Then there are people like in Georgia and the Southeast, the Deep South, that call soda Coke. No matter what it is, like, oh, let me get a Coke. Well, what kind of Coke do you want? But I guess if you think about it, down in the Deep South, especially around Georgia and hot Atlanta, it's really only Coke products because Coca-Cola was founded and has their headquarters down in Atlanta. So I guess that makes sense. But people get so confused. Like, I know people's like, oh, what kind of Coke do you want? Well, the kind of Coke I want is a Sprite. It's like, no, that's not. No. Back when Coke was like a huge thing, you'd say, oh, I'd want a Coke. And if they asked you what kind of Coke, you could say Coke Classic if you just want a regular Coke. Or you'd be like, well, I want a vanilla Coke and get that little vanilla flavoring in there. Pretty good, though. I do like vanilla Coke. Anyway, we got a pretty good, we got a pretty solid podcast rolling for you guys today. Got a couple stories for you. I want to share a little bit about my experience in airports / airplanes. And then I think to round out the full episode, I'm going to talk a little bit about my experience with the medical field and the doctors. And doctors, not and the doctors, but and doctors. Alrighty, well, let's hit it. All right, so here we go with airports and airplanes. Can't leave those out. That's a pretty big piece of the story. Hate them, love them. We got to have them. Airports and airplanes are great for helping us travel, getting from place to place a lot quicker than on foot or on car, really. But there are some times where, you know, the experience, whether it's in the airport or on the airplane, may not be the best. And this first story here I'd like to share involves being in the airport. So my family and I, we were in St. Louis. We were getting ready to go back home after, I think it was after the 4th of July. And we thought we had more than enough time before the flight took off to go and get something to eat because we were all really hungry. and we decided to go hang out at a Chili's, go get some Southwest egg rolls and, you know, chill out, kind of relax before we get on the flight. And while we were there, I was like, oh, well, you know, duty calls, I gotta go to the restroom. And, you know, I'm doing my thing, and then over the intercom, I hear flight 4212. I don't know what flight number it was. It's taking off to Dallas. Last call for any passengers who are not currently on the flight. And I, like, looked down at my phone, and I was like, yep, that's definitely our flight. We should probably be out. So I get up, do what I gotta do, pull my pants back up, sprint out with my belt buckle hanging out a little bit. I wasn't completely ready, and I just started running down the terminal to try to get to the plane as quick as possible. And, you know, family was freaking out, couldn't find me. Luckily, I was at the terminal. I think I actually made it before they did. And we're all rustled up, feathers all ruffled, and get yelled at by my parents. Where were you? I was like, I was in the restroom. What do you mean? I told you guys I was going to the restroom. Where were you guys? Turns out they were out looking for me. But yeah, that was a great way to start the flight. You know, nothing like a little, I got to go to the restroom to be little turd cutting, being interrupted by the flight being ready to getting ready to take off. And Lord knows I'm definitely not going to the restroom on an airplane. I'm too big of a human being to be fitting in one of those. And if you guys have ever seen Tommy Boy, great movie. But that the scene where they're on the plane and Tommy Boy is trying to get ready on the in the bathroom, that's pretty much me every time I go into an airplane bathroom. It's a complete nightmare. Bumping into everything, knocking over boxes, not having enough hand sanitizer to wash my hands before I get back out, and you know, maybe the lady before kind of sunk up the bathroom. Yeah, it's a rough go. That's why I always try to go to the restroom before I get on the plane, because I am definitely not trying to use the restroom on the plane. Well, that story didn't take as long as I thought. What, three and a half minutes? Oh, well, we're moving pretty quickly here, huh? This next one was actually on an airplane. And if you have ever flown Southwest, you know that it's first come, first serve. You're not really given a specific seat to sit on the plane. So the sooner you get on the plane, the better. You'll sit closer to the front. And so I had a better ticket compared to my mom and my brother. So they asked me to go and hold the seat for them on the plane so we could all sit together towards the front. I was like, all right, no big deal. I've done this before. Nothing I can't handle. So I get on the plane, put my luggage in the overhead. I'm like, all right, I'm golden. Just got to wait for my mom and my brother to get on the plane and we're going to be good. About a minute later, middle-aged lady gets on the flight. We make eye contact. First of all, biggest mistake you can make. If you have a seat, if you're sitting down on an airplane and you don't want anybody sitting next to you, do not make eye contact, because that just opens up the opportunity. They think that, like, oh, I can sit right next to this guy. He looked at me and we're on the same page. Anyway, so we made eye contact. She walks up to me and she's like, hey, can I sit next to you? And I was like, no, I'm holding this for my mom and my brother. And she's like, well, you can't hold seats on this plane, so let me sit next to you. And at this point, I couldn't believe that she responded that like that, because usually in the past, if I said that, they would be like, all right, no big deal. I'll just go, you know, find another spot in the back where there's like whole rows open. Just deal with it. You're going to get off the plane about a minute later. Big deal. But she continues to like argue with me and yell at me. And mind you, I'm like in middle school when this happened. And this is a middle-aged lady yelling at me and laying into me, trying to get the seat next to me. And luckily, I probably would have given in if she kept fighting, but luckily, the people around kind of just told her to leave me alone and ask, like, they were like, why are you yelling at him? He's like 12. I was like, yeah, I'm 12. Why are you yelling at me? I'm doing what I was asked. I just want my mom and my brother to sit next to me on the plane so we could all be one big family. I don't know, man. Planes are a different animal. And then every once in a while, you get out, you hear on the news, planes crash, a window breaks and opens while you're in flight, and the lady gets sucked out. Those are things you do not want to hear before you get on a plane. It always seems like I hear things like this right before I, you know, fly out. Not every time, but every now and then. Like a while ago on a Southwest flight, there was a lady who were like, the window was broken and she ended up getting sucked out while in flight. And I think a couple weeks later, I was flying back home, and my girlfriend turns to me and she's like, isn't this the same company where the lady got sucked out like a week or two earlier? And I was like, yeah, I think you're right, it is. And the best part was, I was sitting right next to the window, so I was like, well, if it happens, I'm gonna be the first one to go. That stuff's wild. That's like the last thing you want to think about while you're on a plane, because you're pretty much you're at the mercy of the winds up there in the stratosphere, and you're in the hands of the pilots who are hopefully guiding us all the way back home safely, back to Earth, where we should be, not up in the air. It's a scary time. And then lastly, my brother and I were flying down to San Antonio, and they have flight attendants. It's a short flight, so like right at the beginning, flight attendants came through and asked what we wanted to drink, and I was like, I'll just take a water, no big deal. I don't really want any soda. I'm not really in the mood for that stuff right now. I don't want to get sauced up before I get down to San Antonio. And so, you know, after we take off, we get our drinks, and we must have hit like a bump or some turbulence or something, but I spilled a drink and ice gets all over my lap and I'm wet and all that stuff. And my brother's laughing, dying. See, anything bad that happens to me, he just thinks is hysterical. And so when the flight attendant comes back through to pick up trash, it's like, excuse me, miss, may I have another glass of water? Because I spilt mine. I just would like some water to, you know, fulfill my thirst. She looked at me just flat-faced. No, here's some napkins. And then went about her merry way. It's like, what kind of world do we live in where I spilt water and I can't get more? Like, yeah, I kind of made a mess, but it's just water. And how hard would it have been to just get me a dang glass of water? Better yet, they should just give us like mini water bottles that are like chilled. Because I wouldn't have spilt that if we hit turbulence. There's a lot less, there's just one little hole for the water to travel through, and it would have been like a little splash, if anything. You gotta wonder, why do we put those drinks in those stupid little plastic cups? We're actually creating more waste when we do that. Because the ladies, sometimes if they bring the cart through, or you can see them developing the concoctions in like the front or the back of the plane, they're taking a bottle of water and pouring the water into different cups. So then they're gonna have to throw away the plastic cups along with the plastic water bottle. Like that's super wasteful, especially now that we have so many people on Earth and we just have trash floating around in the sea. That's a problem. I didn't even think about that until just now. Airplanes are so wasteful. Wow. All that for no more water. I shouldn't have spilt it. Wasted my opportunity to quench my thirst. What a bummer. If you don't learn anything else today, folks, don't spill your water on an airplane. And that's it for this segment on airplanes/airports. Can't leave those out. Hope you enjoyed it. Here we go. We're going to move on to doctors in the medical field. Boom.
You know,
I'm actually driving right now, so this is semi-dangerous. Driving and podcasting, kids, don't do it. But I was thinking, I actually hate doctors. Not the people, like, I don't hate them as people. I hate them for what they do as an occupation. I don't think I've ever gone to a doctor's office and thought, wow, I'm really glad I went. And I was never, for as long as I can remember, never super pumped about going to the doctor. I'm pretty sure that every time, well, when I was younger at least, not, I don't cry now because I have to be grown and drive myself there, which is painful. That's almost worse than having somebody else take you to the doctor. But when I was younger, I would straight up cry, scream, do whatever to make sure I just didn't go to the doctor. And like, I understand that like their job is to like make sure that I'm healthy and to provide me with the services that I need in order to maintain a healthy life, but it just never was fun or like a good experience. And I think a lot of this stems from my intense fear slash hatred of needles. I don't really know. Again, I have no idea where this stemmed from. I should probably talk to a psychologist about it, because needles, just saying the word needles, like, makes me like quiver. Anyway, this isn't really a doctor run in here. I'll give you a couple scenarios that I've been a part of in regards to doctors or the medical field. This first one was a couple months ago. And so I was student teaching at a school that wasn't too far away from the university that I went to. And so in one of the classes, one of my students was like volunteering for the blood drive and was trying to get as many people to go and donate blood as possible. And she came up to me and she's like, "Hey, would you want to be a part of the blood drive? Would you want to donate?" And I was like, "Ooh." And I kind of sat there and paused, because I was like, "No, I don't. I hate needles." I didn't say this, but I was thinking it. Anyway, that pause, I didn't really get a chance to answer, and she was like, "Okay, you know what? I'll just take that as a yes, because I know that you want to, and I need people." And I was like, kind of selfish, but okay, no big deal, no big deal. And after class got out, I was like, oh boy, this is not good. Problem one, I don't like needles. Problem two, I didn't know when slash where this blood drive was taking place. So turned to the teacher who actually runs the classroom. I was just a student teacher, so my cooperating teacher, I turned to him and I was like, "Hey, when is this blood drive?" He's like, "Tomorrow." "Why?" And I was like, "I just got volunteered for it. And I don't know if you know this, and if you do, this is really weird. I really don't know how you know this." Anywho, I hate needles. I can't do needles. Like, needles are not my friend. Needles and I have never gotten along together. It's been a pretty terrible experience with needles throughout my whole life. And he starts laughing, and I'm like, well, this isn't helping the situation. Like, you laughing isn't solving my intense fear slash hatred for needles. And he's like, "Well, it's tomorrow. We'll get things figured out. Do you still want to do it?" And I was like, "Well, I'm not gonna wuss out of this. I'm gonna stick to what I said slash didn't say. I got volunteered for this, but I'm gonna stick with it. You know, I'm gonna go for it. Maybe, you know, if I try this and it goes well, I could start making my way back to not hating needles, even though I've always hated them. But you know, it's worth a shot." And so, fast forward to the next day. I wake up in the morning, I go work out, I'm trying to keep my anxiety down because that's not going to help the situation. I start chugging water because I know that part of it, in order for them to find the veins easier, you need to be super hydrated. So I'm just chugging and chugging and chugging water. And I get to school and I bump into my cooperating teacher. He's like, "Hey, we bumped up your time. So instead of going to mass," this was a Catholic school. I think, I don't know if I mentioned that already or not. But anyway, this is a Catholic school, and on the same day that they're doing the blood drive, we were going to mass. I was like, "Hey, instead of going to mass, you're going to just do your blood work, or they're going to draw your blood while everybody's at mass so nobody sees you in case something goes wrong. And I was like, in case something goes wrong? What do you mean? It's like, well, you know, sometimes people faint and blood might start going everywhere. And I was like, dude, if this happens to me, I'm calling the cops. Like, I'm going to grab my phone, call the cops, and I'm getting all of y'all arrested because that's just cruel. Didn't actually say that. I was thinking it. But anyway, I was like, great. So now I don't have to sit here and wait, because then it would have been a couple extra class periods of me sweating profusely and shaking in front of my students before I went and actually got my blood work. So after that, I just go straight down. I go straight down to the gym where they're doing the blood work, or they're drawing the blood for everybody to donate. Go down there. There's nobody in there besides a couple of students who are volunteering, and then the rest of the Red Cross team, I guess if you want to call them, a bunch of people who are there to draw blood. I'm like, all right, well, let's do this bad boy. Get up there, read a couple packets on, like, things that I need to have, I shouldn't have taken before the blood draw, or before I got my blood taken. So I was kind of wishing I took, like, ibuprofen or Tylenol or whatever you're not supposed to take. And you're also supposed to read through places that you should not have traveled to prior to giving blood. And I scanned that thing at least 10 times to make sure that I didn't travel to, or like, that Cabo was on the list, because I had traveled to Cabo a couple months prior. And unfortunately for me, that wasn't the case. Cabo wasn't on there. So I was like, well, I'm really doing this. So I get my finger pricked, handled that way better than I thought, get on the table. And I have a couple of my, like, students come up and talk to me and try to distract me, because I guess at this point, everybody and their dog at the school knew that I did not tolerate needles very well, which I appreciate the move. It was very thoughtful of them to, you know, do that, keep my mind off of what's going on. So he gets my arm sterilized and whatever, whatnot. And so he puts the needle, like, he sticks the needle in, which was kind of like a little pinch, but it wasn't too bad. And I was like, sweet. The hardest part's over, the needle's in my arm, blood's going to start pouring out, and here in about a minute, I don't know, here in about X amount of time, I'm going to be done giving blood, I'm going to be bandaged up, and I'm going to go along my merry way. That wasn't the case. So he stuck the needle in, and so I felt the pinch, and then he didn't remove his hand from my arm. And I was like, okay, this is not normal. I'm pretty sure that he should be good by now. And I start feeling him move the needle around in my arm, which was infinitely more painful compared to him just sticking the needle in my arm. And I'm pretty sure he removed, I wasn't watching, because I would have screamed or punched him in the face at the same time. But I'm pretty sure he takes the needle out and then sticks it in to see if he can hit a vein or something. Can't do it. And I'm just fighting the pain. I'm really, like, I feel like I'm really, I'm proud of myself for how I handled it. But it's a fist fight between him and my veins and the needle. The needle's a boxing glove. And if you're wondering, I just parked my car. Anyway. So he's sitting there digging around, and I guess he finally hit the vein. And as soon as he hit the vein, I started getting dizzy. I was like, guys, I don't feel so good. And like right after I said that, it just went dark. I was out like a light. And then the next thing I remember is the guy saying, hey, come back to me. And I had like a cold, wet towel on my face, and I was just staring straight up at the ceiling. And I was like, what just happened? He's like, you didn't take the needle very well. I guess your blood pressure dropped like super, super fast. And your like brain wasn't able to like take it or anything like that. And I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. And like my arm was like raised up above my like body. Like I was like raising my hand to answer a question in class or something. I don't know. My arm was like thumping in pain. Like, it felt like there was a heart in my arm. They bandaged it up and everything. I got up, looked like a half-drunken sailor trying to get off a ship after, like, riding through a hurricane. And I, like, go and sit down, eat a snack or something, and everybody's coming up to me like, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And I was like, "I mean, I think so. I just fainted. I've never done that before in my life. But, you know, here I am." I got up and walked away from it, luckily. And so, for some reason, everybody thinks this is hysterical. And I was like, "Guys, I just fainted. Like, could I have died? Like, I don't know. I probably could have. I mean, or they could have just fought through it and kept drawing blood. I'm sure it wasn't that big of a risk. But, no. Go about my day." And, like, a student comes up to me later in the day after I tell the story to everybody, because everybody just has to hear it. And they're like, "You know that, that the people who work for the Red Cross are, like, in training to do this stuff, right? Like, those people were all in training." And I was like, "They were in training? Like, what? Why would you have people do this in training? Like, that doesn't make any sense." It's like, "Yeah, they're in training. They're going to do, like, they're going to work professionally for Red Cross, but right now they're training. And, yeah, so you were the first person that guy ever worked on." And I was like, "If any of you guys would have told me this before I got my blood drawn, I would not have even thought twice as to say no to this. Worst experience of my life. And I'm sure it did nothing to help my fear of needles other than that I have a incredible pain tolerance." So yeah, that was my experience with the Red Cross. I guess you could just say that's medical field, because I don't think they are actually licensed doctors. At least I hope not. Or the United States is screwed if we have doctors who can't, you know, poke people with needles and get blood out of them. We are screwed. Anyway, if you're listening to this before you get your blood drawn, good luck. Here's my second story, though. This one has nothing to do. This is actual doctors, more or less. If you consider a dermatologist a doctor? I mean, I think they're doctors. Just focus on skin. Yeah, no, it's dermatologists that are actual doctors. Chiropractors are the ones that people say aren't really doctors, because all they do is, like, massage your back. Anyway, so I go to the doctor, I have a mole on my leg, and I'm like, "Great, this isn't good. I should probably get this looked at. I don't want to have skin cancer or anything like that." First of all, most uninviting doctor's office I've ever been to. Everything was the same color on the walls. It was like some stupid cream color. Everybody in there is old, and I'm like the youngest one by at least 100 years. And every pamphlet on the walls had something to do with skin cancer. And I was like, "Well, I just can't get this out of my mind." And I get kind of in my own head about that stuff. And so I just sit there and bask in my own anxiety, which is a blast and a half. I just sit there and wait, and, you know, they finally call my name. I go back into the back room, and I don't know if you guys have ever been, but dermatologist offices, or the rooms that they work in, are incredibly scary looking. It looks like a torture chamber. They have, like, a chair that you sit in that it can, like, turn into, like, a bed that you lay in. And they have, like, a bunch of devices behind that that look like they're going to torture somebody and get questions out of them about, like, government conspiracies. Anyway, so I'm sitting in there, and, you know, the dermatologist assistant, I don't know if she's an actual doctor or not. She was nice. She was asking me a bunch of questions and stuff like that about my family history and if anybody in my family prior to me had skin cancer or anything like that. And I was like, "Not to my knowledge," you know, all that stuff. And so then she leaves. She's like, "All right, Dr. So-and-so," I don't even remember the dude's name, to be honest. "Dr. So-and-so is going to be in here in a minute. Just wait, and we'll get things figured out after that." I was like, "Cool." So then I'm alone in this scary looking room with, like, a picture of, like, a blade of grass on the wall. I'm sitting there, you know, it goes back to just me sitting in my own anxiety bathtub, just soaking it all in. It was awesome. And then he finally walks in. He's like, "So you have a mole, huh?" And I'm like, "Yeah, think that's why everybody comes here, right? Other than, like, acne, there's, like, moles. Like, you guys look at acne and moles. What else could I... No, I have a bug on my leg, and I don't know how to get it off. Like, what? Come on, dude. Anyways, like, well, let's take a look at it. And it's, like a weird spot on the back of my leg, so I, like, kind of, like, did, like, an awkward, like, half roll on the bed to, like, show him. And he's like, oh. It did one of those things that, like, all doctors do when they look, and they're just kind of observing it. And I don't think they do it on purpose, but he's like, oh, wow. And he's just, like, saying a bunch of stuff that's kind of freaking me out, because I don't know what any of it, like, any of those words or noises mean. And he's like, well, it looks like there's a dark spot on it, and I literally was about to just faint right there. Another faint spell. You know, I guess as you get older, you just faint at everything. He's like, yeah, there's a dark spot on there. And I was like, well, that's the end of me. Like, I'm going to die. Here we go. See you later, guys. He's like, I think you'll be okay. And I'm, like, already shaking, and I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, I think you're going to be okay. Like, don't worry about it right now. I mean, if it's bothering you any other time, you can come back in. We'll freeze in. Remove it. I mean, unless you want to remove it now. And I was like, no, get me out of here. This place is freaky. Didn't say that, actually, but I was thinking it. I was like, no, that's good. We're good. Like, I want to get out of here. Please just let me leave. So I left the torture chamber of a doctor's office and sat in my car and thought about how I never want to go to a doctor again. I could go on and on about this doctor thing, but I've already wasted about 15 minutes of your life. So let's just get back to the regular podcast. All right. So there you go. I shared a little bit about airplanes, airports, doctors, and the medical field. This is the first episode. I really don't know what to expect out of this podcast. But I've always kind of, you know, for a while, I've kind of wanted to do my own podcast, but never really had time. And, you know, I just decided, well, if you really want something or if you want to do something, you got to make time for it in your life. So that's what I'm doing now. A lot of this podcast is actually being produced on my lunch break at work. So it's a little bit of time to kill. I ate my lunch pretty quickly. So I was like, all right, let's put this bad boy together. Some of the segments, I don't know if you'll notice, like if you notice, but a lot of it was recorded at different times and I just kind of pieced it all together like a puzzle. But no, I'd really like to know what your thoughts, feelings, reactions are to the things I said, what you thought about the podcast in general. If you want to connect with the podcast, follow @_Toddcast on Twitter. That is @TODcast, CAST, all caps on Twitter. That's the only social media I have on there right now. I plan on adding more if there's a little more, if this podcast gains a little bit more traction. But as of right now, I'm going to keep it simple. I'm going to post onto Anchor and allow Anchor to post on to Apple, Spotify, wherever. So if you're listening to this on Anchor, awesome. If you're listening to anything else, Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, that's cool too. Support the podcast. Share it with your friends. Again, follow me @_Toddcast. Let me know what you're thinking. Had a lot of fun. It's kind of tough doing this on your own. You don't really have anybody to talk to. I'm currently actually sitting in my car recording this, so there's literally nobody else besides me and my lunchbox and a water bottle. Well, there's a guy over there mowing. What's up, guy? But yeah, that's it. It's just me and my phone. Alrighty, well, thanks for tuning in, and hope you guys listen to the next episode. Peace. Alrighty, welcome back to the other day. Before we get into it, a quick shout out to the St. Louis Blues and the Toronto Raptors. Both first time world champions. And yeah, that's about it. I don't get where American-based
sports leagues get off calling themselves world champions, because most leagues in the United States only reach out into like Canada. Like the MLB has. Does the MLB have anybody in Canada? No, not even the MLB has anybody in Canada anymore. Oh no, the Toronto Blue Jays. There's one team in the MLB, the Toronto Blue Jays. Then there's the Toronto Raptors. And the NBA, and then there's a handful of teams in the NHL in Canada. But we still believe that we're world champions. Granted, I think that if any team in the NBA went up against any team around the rest of the world, I think they win 10 times out of 10. Same goes with baseball and hockey, really. Anyway, here's a quick message from our sponsor.